How you guys doing? Welcome to ACCWA State Conference 2025, Wednesday, 4 p.m. service. It's going to be amazing. Hey, I know that we've got some incredible preachers across the next day and a half. Pastor Jessica Tate and Pastor David Hall are going to be here sharing the word. I don't feel like I'm a guest. I see, I'm a son of the West. Do I have some West Australian pastors in the room? This is what I'm hoping is going to happen in this session. I'm hoping for some home ground advantage. Can I have me some home ground advantage today? What are you talking about? Is my what? It's not. It's the house of God. It's a state conference today, Julian. He's like heckling me from that. This is home ground advantage already right here. Hey, I am not preaching some recycled sermon today. I just feel like God downloaded something at a hotel room in Townsville last week for me, for what God wants to say in this conference today. And it's going to come out a little rough and unpolished, but I just know that God's on this today. So if you're going to lean in, I just pray that God's going to speak to you. Isaiah chapter 30, we're going to put the text up for these two verses. It says here, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord." Sounds a little heavy. Stay with me, right? "Who take counsel or comfort, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." Today I want to speak to you on this thought: don't trust in shadows. Don't trust in shadows. I want to give you some context here. Isaiah is writing about a time in history where God is having a conversation with a king called Hezekiah. If you know a bit of Bible history, we're about the 8th century BC, and the kingdom of Israel is split into two. The northern kingdom's Israel, the southern kingdom's Judah. Make sense to you guys? You following me so far? I know you guys are pastors and leaders. You should know your Bible, okay? Hezekiah was king of the southern kingdom of Judah, and King Hoshea was the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And the Bible tells us that Hezekiah was largely a good leader. He was a godly man. But what was happening here was that the Assyrian Empire was rising, and they were a pagan, aggressive, bloodthirsty nation, and they'd already defeated King Hoshea in the north, and they were coming for the southern kingdom of Judah. So here is Hezekiah. He's a good man. He's a good godly leader. And for the first 7 years of his reign, he observes the way that King Hoshea is dealing with the attack from the Assyrian Empire. And King Hoshea tried to form an alliance with the Egyptian nation. And now Hezekiah, under attack himself, thought to himself, "Well, surely I can do better than the weak alliance that Hoshea had formed with the Egyptian nation. And if I diplomatically work myself into this, if I maneuver and maybe offer some gifts, do a bit of a deal, Egypt's Pharaoh is going to come into my corner and lend me his horses and chariots, and maybe I'll have a bit of a chance of defeating this formidable Assyrian army." And here is what got a good leader in trouble: that when the attacks came, Hezekiah put his trust in the strength of Egypt and not in the Lord God Almighty. See, I think sometimes when the pressure comes, even the most godly of leaders can resort to putting their trust in man-made help and not God-breathed solutions. And when we're under attack, it's easy for us to reach for what we can see rather than cry out to a God that we cannot see. And Hezekiah reaches for what is tried and true with the strength of Egypt. And so I want to ask you today, pastors and leaders, when the pressure comes, is your default to run to the shadow of a man-made solution, or is it to hit your knees and ask God for divine help? When you feel like you're under attack, is it your default to reach for the shadow of fighting back in your own strength and getting back online and I'll show you what I think of Charlie Kirk. I'll show you, right? Or are you crying out to God for divine protection? When the heat is on, do you trust in shadows or do you trust in God Almighty? When you're confused, do you run to ChatGPT or Google or do you run to the Word of God? I'm asking you today, pastors and leaders, do you run to the counsel of a friend when you need support or do you run to the counsel of God? Because God says to Hezekiah, "Woe to those who take counsel but not of me. The another word that you could replace with counsel is comfort. Woe to those who take comfort, but not of me or in me. Because it's not always just counsel we look for when we're under pressure. Sometimes it's comfort. So when the numbers have been down in your church, do you reach for a little bit of secret over binge eating? Just to medicate or dull the pain of the disappointment of the low numbers for the... Come on, somebody, can we get real in this place? When those significant families leave your church over an extended period of time, do you reach for those extra glasses of wine just to dull a little bit of the... Oh, can I speak to some pastors and leaders? Because sometimes I think we reach for the shadow of what gives us temporary relief rather than a permanent breakthrough that we find in Christ Jesus. And God's saying, I see you. I see you going through the stuff, the pressures of leadership. I see you going through the stresses of the attacks and the heat that comes, and you're reaching for counsel. You're reaching for comfort. You're just reaching for everything else that's not me. And then we say dumb stuff like, well, we've done everything, and I guess all that we can do now is just pray. We say stuff like, oh, I've tried everything. I guess everything that we, I guess all that's left to do now is just pray. I need to remind some pastors and leaders in Western Australia, don't trust in the shadows of man-made solutions when you've got the Almighty God. So here is Hezekiah, and the Bible says that he actually walks from Judah all the way down to Egypt to search for a man-made solution. Do you know that searching for man-made solutions take effort too? But it's misappropriated effort. It's time for us to change the direction of our effort. Bring in every friend in the state for advice, searching up Google, doing our research. None of those things are bad. I'm just saying it's time to redirect our time and our efforts and our focus on inquiring of God. See, the problem with shadows, that you got to remember that shadows are just another name for a shade. During the height of summer, we all look for shade, don't we? A shade is essentially the shadow that is cast because there is a building or an umbrella or some big object that stands between you and the heat of the sun. Makes sense to you guys? Here is the thing, that if you trust shadows, you got to remember that shadows are simply temporary. And it can fool you into thinking that you've got some kind of temporary relief lying on a beach towel under that umbrella. Come on, somebody. And then we fall asleep as leaders. An hour later, the sun's already moved and y'all are getting burnt while you're sleeping. And all the white people in the room wake up looking like lobsters. Cooked crayfish. The reason is because we put our trust in shadows. You got to remember, friend, the problem with shadows is that it's only a temporary darkened outline of the real thing. So when you're under a spiritual attack, when the enemy comes like a flood, when the storm brews against your life, when the heat is on your marriage, where there's been a devouring of your finances, where there's leadership conflict and you lose your youth pastor, kids pastor, pastoral care leader all in 1 month, who do you go to? Do you trust in shadows? Or do you seek the counsel of the Lord? Do you put your trust in the horses and chariots of Egypt? A man-made solution, the promise of a seductive temporary relief? Or do you put your trust in the one true God? Do you put your trust in the podcast? Do you put your trust in another Christian social media influencer with this little fandangled little hot take on something? Or do you put your trust in another, let's pay another 10 grand for another church consultant, hoping that's... None of those things are wrong. But there is a difference between temporary relief and real breakthrough. Yeah, I'm preaching now. See, the enemy wants you to trust in shadows. He wants you to reach for something that has a perception of real. But how many of you know, oh man, serious spiritual problems can only be solved by spiritual answers. Serious spiritual issues in our leadership and in our church and in our families can only be solved by permanent spiritual breakthrough. When the heat of the Assyrian army was breathing down Judah's neck, Hezekiah reached for a quick fix solution.
from a well-known nation with horses and chariots. See, I think here's the issue with Western church leadership sometimes is that we'd rather settle for man-made help we can see rather than get on our knees and ask for help from a God we cannot see. I want to go a little deeper with this. I find it interesting that Hezekiah reached for help from Egypt. He forgot that only 650 years before that, that was the very nation God was delivering his people out of. He forgot. There's something morbidly familiar about an old oppression. There's something morbidly familiar about an old trauma. And sometimes when the pressure comes, come on somebody, we start reaching for the very things God is trying to deliver you out of for this coming season. When we're feeling the heat, there is something vaguely or morbidly familiar about an old pain. Hezekiah forgot that only 650 years before, people were reaching for that same familiar trauma, because the first sign of hunger when they got to the edge of the wilderness, they started to complain to their leader Moses when they said this in verse 4, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, hunger. So the children of Israel also wept again, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic, all the familiar things, but now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna. This manna, this is the provision of God for this new season. But there is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. So here they are, wandering around the wilderness. Instead of asking God, how can we thrive in this new season of wilderness? They started to long for a familiar pain of Egypt. They forgot that this is the very thing God was trying to deliver them out of. Come on, somebody. I'm here to tell you today that there are old ways of leading that many of you are reaching for, that God wants to deliver you from in this coming season. And that just because something feels familiar, it doesn't mean God's in it. Just because it feels like a well-worn path, we've done this before, it doesn't mean God's in it. Remember, Hezekiah saw Hoshea trying to get this alliance happening with Egypt. He got 7 years of observing. So maybe if it worked for Hoshea, an older king, a bit further in front than me, maybe I should be doing the same thing too. Just because you've seen that strategy done by somebody else, it doesn't mean that God wants you to do it too. Just because you saw it work for your mentor 20 years ago, it doesn't mean that's the now word for you from God. Here's the thing. It might have even been a now word from God for you 10 years ago, but it ain't. It's just a shadow now, because it ain't what God's asking you to do today. See, familiarity is comfortable. And in a time of crisis, we're trying to minimize further stress. So we reach for what is comfortable. We reach for the familiar, because unfamiliar is counterintuitive. An unfamiliar thing requires faith. It requires thinking. It requires dependency on God. Whereas if we reach for something familiar, it's comfortable. It doesn't require anything for us. And I think for so many of us, so many of our leadership journeys, when we're under stress, under pressure, stuff's breaking down in our ministries, stuff's going on in our families, stuff's going on in our marriage, we'd rather the familiarity of Egypt, come on somebody, than the unfamiliarity of the quiet time on our knees saying, God, would you help me? God, would you help me? I need you. I'm praying that God is going to raise up a movement of churches in Western Australia that we quit trusting in shadows. Come on, somebody. Start coming back to the Lord God Almighty. You guys getting something out of this? I want to parachute back in time a little bit out of Hezekiah and back into the book of Numbers. And we see Moses in Numbers chapter 20, he's in under significant pressure. He's been leading for about 40 years. This is what's the tail end of his time in the wilderness. He'd been leading the people wandering around for 40 years. His sister Miriam had just died. He's grieving. And they hit up on an issue where they get to a place called Kadesh, and there is no water there. You got to understand, whenever the people complain there's no water, it was symbolic for so many different things. It meant desperation. It meant people were confused. But water also meant no water also meant no progress. So they were stuck.
It's like we've been wandering for 40 years under your leadership now in this wilderness, Moses, and it's gotten us nowhere. God sees the plight of the people at Kadesh and then says this to Moses in verse 7. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the rod or the staff or the stick, the shepherd's stick. You and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded them. Verse 11, then Moses lifted his hand, struck the rock twice with his rod or staff or stick, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the animals drank. At a surface level, it looks like it's great. We got some results. Thank God. They were like willing to stone me. They were so desperate for water. Thank God there's finally water coming out of the rock. But that's not what God instructed Moses to do. He said to Moses, Moses, I want you to speak to the rock at Kadesh. Oh, why? Because when you speak to the rock, water's going to flow. Oh, okay, you mean you're gonna bail me out of this, right? It's going to be a miracle, right? Awesome. Okay. The Bible says Moses strikes the rock twice. Have you ever reached for a familiar strategy that still yielded results, even though it wasn't what God was asking you to do? Moses felt familiar with his stick. And so he wanted to perform a miracle off the back of his trusty old stick instead of using the unfamiliarity of his mouth. I'm wondering today if there's people where you've resorted to a tried and true method, but in this new season, God is asking you to trust him with the unfamiliarity of a new strategy, a new way of thinking, a new revelation. See, I know why Moses did it. This is at the tail end of his leadership. He's at Kadesh. But if you press rewind, go back to the very start, 40 years earlier, as they start their journey around the wilderness, they didn't know it was going to be 40 years at the time, but they happened upon their first bout of significant water shortage was at a place called Rephidim. It was at Rephidim where God actually said, Moses, why don't you strike the rock? See, God knew where he was at in that season. So Moses, on that fresh revelation, struck the rock. The livestock and the families were hydrated. 40 years later, here is Moses. And God does not ask him to strike the rock. God says, speak to the rock. But instead, he reflects back on an old revelation and strikes the rock twice. You know why he struck it twice? Just to see if an old method would still work for an old leader. 15 years ago, we used to do tribal wars at youth. Let's do double tribal wars. All of them geriatric youth leaders. Let's do double tribal. 20 years ago, we used to sell apples for chaplains. Let's sell pears as well now. Come on, y'all. I understand why he did it, because that same shepherd's staff, that rod, it's the one that has walked with him all of these years. It was the same rod or stick that he threw down and it turned into a snake in front of Pharaoh as he petitioned for Pharaoh to let his people go. It was the same stick that he held up and it parted the Red Sea. It was the same stick, come on somebody, that he struck the rock at Rephidim and water came out. Only here at Kadesh, this was not what God was asking him to do. Can I ask leaders and pastors in the room, are you still trying to manage conflict today like you did 20 years ago? Are you still trying to raise leaders today like the way you raised leaders 15 years ago? Only there were Gen X's and now they're Gen Z's and Gen Alpha's. Come on, somebody. Are you still trying to prophesy that same old way with the same old cliches, the same old one-liners like you did back in Rephidim season when he's asking you to prophesy differently now at Kadesh? Are you trying to strategize on how to grow your church and reach people
with that same old 20-year-old community program that was great in Rephidim. Come on, somebody. But he's wanting to speak. You wanting you to speak to the rock at Kadesh? Are you wanting to do missions like you did 30 years ago? When he's wanting you to speak to the rock at Kadesh for today's global revival that has God in store. Come on, somebody. Don't trust in shadows. And for so many of us, we trust in the shadow of an old method. Here's Moses. God says, Moses, I want you to speak to the rock. Okay. Do you know why he probably didn't want to speak to the rock? Because he was a stutterer. And everyone was watching. And I've never talked to a rock before. All I've known is how to strike it. And if a stutterer talks to a rock, it might not turn out so good, because the rock might like just have little spurts of water like an old man trying to pee, rather than just a waterfall of water coming out like it should. I have no idea where that came from. But it wasn't somewhere holy. That was a shadow, man. Came out of my mouth. Jesus, help me today. Are you all right, Taryn? She looks like she's having another kid. Are you good? Just breathe. Just breathe. But if I speak to the rock, it might not happen. Because in my old method, hitting the rock works. Notice how God was still merciful to the people. Water still flowed. But that very act of trusting in shadows disqualified Moses from walking. Come on, somebody. From walking into the promised land. Don't put your trust in shadows. Is this helpful to you guys? You see, sometimes I think God gives us a divine idea or a divine method somewhere in the season of life. We use it and it works. God comes through for us. But after he comes through for us, we start putting our trust in the method rather than the God who gave us the method. I want to remind you today that you're in a season of Kadesh right now. There is a fresh word that he wants you to put your trust in, not an old shadow of an old thing, because the same act can be an act of faith in the previous season, but be an act of striving and human effort in your new one. What could have been a divine revelation for that season, in this season, it's just going to be striving and trusting in a shadow. Maybe you've been reaching for what's been familiar. But I'm here to tell you today, it's time for us as a movement, as a cohort of leaders, we're going to make a deal with each other that moving forward, we're not going to trust in human effort for results anymore, but we're going to step into divine faith for miracles for today. For what has he got for ACCWA in this day? We're going to go from striving for God to believing in God for this revival that we're praying for. We're going to go from trusting in an old word to trusting in a now word from God. There's people here, man. God wants to break out in a new way in your ministry, in a new way in your leadership. Stop trusting in the shadow of an old method. Stop trusting in what you think you know about what you know to do. We see this having precedence. Abraham himself, Genesis chapter 16, you can read it. He trusted in the shadow of an Egyptian handmaiden to make the promise of God happen. You know why? Because he felt the pressure of time. We're getting old, like the promise was a few years ago, still not happening, God. Very few things cause a godly leader to compromise and start reaching for a shadow when they feel like I'm running out of time. And so we start birthing Ishmaels, campuses we should have never started, programs we should never birth. It's an Ishmael. Come on, somebody. It's not the timing of God. Man-made effort. Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 28. He trusted the shadow of a medium at Endor. Samuel already died. He petitioned, he asked God, but God made him. See, very few things test whether we trust in shadows than being forced to wait in patience for the Lord to come through for us. He immediately, God's not coming through. I'm going to ask a witch, a medium, to tell me what to do next. Peter in the Gospels at Gethsemane, the soldiers came to arrest Jesus. And instead of letting messianic prophecy be fulfilled, he reached for a sword to cut off an ear. How many times have we reached for a sword to cut off an ear to try and solve a problem? I'm going to march in there, put that staff member back in his place. Or I'm going to march in there. That's my Karen walk. Sort out that. We keep cutting ears off instead of saying, God, what do you need me to do here? Can I get some divine wisdom on how to deal with this? And I think that the reason why we come through seasons where we revert to trusting in shadows is because when we don't know what to do, we usually just do what we know to do. And I think what pressure or heat or attacks, what those things expose is this, how intimate we actually are with God. That's really what it exposes, how intimate we actually are with God. Because how are you going to turn to God and know what he's saying when you're nowhere close to him? Where's my, give Gareth the hand. Gareth's going to help me. Gareth, come. Gareth's going to be God and I'm going to be me. So God's moving. If I want to know what God is talking about or saying, I got to walk real close to him, keep up. But I think as leaders, we get real busy. We're busy over here with Netflix. We're busy over here listening to that podcast. We're busy over here doom scrolling social media. And we get all confused. We're going, what are you saying? It's time for the church to come back to a place of intimacy. But I also think sometimes we don't do anything out of fear, so we lag behind. This is what I know. This is our church. We're 50 people. That's all. This is what we know how to do. And God might want to be speaking a fresh word. Keep walking, God. Don't stop because you're always moving. But I got to keep up. Come on, somebody. And yet again, this was the peril of my own youth. God's walking at a pace, but I'm going to plan all sorts of things. I'm just doing this and planning that. We're going to expand here, cast that vision there, do that there. And then on Vision Sunday, I'm going to, 27 campuses all at once in one go. I'm going to do all of that stuff and 17 youth ministries, which are going to birth from like this. I just feel it. It exposes our intimacy. Thanks, Gareth. You got the big head. It exposes how close we truly are to God. Proverbs 37 says this, the steps of a good man or a good leader or a good woman are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his way. So one easy way to stop being a good leader is to have your steps ordered by shadows. One way to stop being a godly leader is to have your steps ordered by shadows. God says this, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel or comfort, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Wow. God calls it rebellion. You're adding sin to sin. And here's the thing about walking anywhere else but where God is that either ahead, behind, or everywhere else, is that you end up having lots of options. When you're not walking in intimacy with God, you have so many shadow options to choose from. This voice here, that podcast there, that book there, that resource there, that consultant there, that you have so many choices of shadows of where to turn to that you're so busy chasing those shadows when all along God is saying, why don't you just stop already and start walking in step with me. God is not against you having options. He's just against you making him optional. He's fine with you having options. He knows that we live in the 21st century as leaders. We have options. Just don't make going to him optional. Just don't make time on your knees optional. Just don't make inquiring of the Lord optional. I'm going to land this. Musos, come and join me. You guys all right with this? I know you're ready for dinner and all that. Please read 2 Kings chapter 18, 19 for yourself. 2 Chronicles 32 also accounts for this Hezekiah deal. But this is what Hezekiah, I just feel to preach this. So Hezekiah tries to get Egypt in his corner. Assyria is not intimidated by that at all. They attack anyway. And Judah is getting absolutely pantsed, right? King Sennacherib is a bloodthirsty king. He wants to wipe out God's people. And so Hezekiah thinks to himself, I think I'm going to try another trick if I can. This is my last chance. And what Hezekiah does is that the Bible says he strips gold and silver off of the doors of the temple. The very gold and silver he placed there to restore the place of worship, to glorify God, because the previous king was a bad king. Makes sense to you guys? Hezekiah was prepared to undo his life's work when his leadership was under pressure, to reach for a shadow of a man-made solution, a man-made deal. Sometimes as leaders, we can come into the danger of undoing what was built in the divine with an action in the carnal. And I feel to prophetically declare this over every leader in the room. Maybe you're contemplating transition, or maybe you're contemplating succession planning in the season ahead. Maybe you're thinking about finishing up. Maybe you're thinking about retiring. Maybe you're thinking about moving on to something else. Don't undo your legacy by pulling a shadow move. Don't you do some side financial deal with your board to shore up your future. Come on, somebody. Don't you try something that's man-made to make sure that you'll be sweet for the next season. Why don't you just raise up godly men and women and allow God to take care of the rest? Hezekiah thought, well, I just want to make sure that we're going to be protected from the attack. I might strip the gold and the silver that I melted down myself to put on the doors of the place of worship so God could be glorified for generations. But that gold lasted one generation. He was prepared to undo a lifetime's godly work under a moment of pressure. I don't know if you're here today and you're hearing this, but Hezekiah's turning point finally came. Talk about, I've done everything now, I guess I just pray. He finally gets on his knees. God probably thinks, finally, dude. Sends an angel, and in one night wipes out 185,000 Assyrian soldiers because he finally decides, I'm not trust in shadows. My leadership is impacting too many people for me to play with shadow solutions. There's too much at stake in the people that I lead for me to keep reaching for man-made solutions. My prayers at ACCWA under Christie's leadership that we're going to raise up an army of churches and leaders that make prayer, intercession, and dependency on God our first priority. Above all else, we seek you. Above all else, you are our first priority, not our last resort. Oh man, Jesus just walked in the room. Quickly, quickly, stand to your feet. Just close your eyes right across this room, right across this room. God's here. If you're in the room today, and maybe in the past you've been trusting in man-made solutions, maybe right now as I've been preaching, you've been putting your trust in the big givers in your church to bail you out of some stuff. You've been putting your trust in a clever man-made solution, in some idea somewhere that you read in a book. Those things aren't bad. I'm just saying that maybe God's putting in your heart this afternoon, I'm going to draw a line in the sand, God, and I am going to put my trust in you again. Lift your hands, that's you. Others here, you've been using the familiar shepherd stick. God's calling you in the season of Kadesh to speak to the rock that's in front of you, and you are nervous as anything. You are not familiar with it. You don't know how to do it. You can't for the life of you imagine how this is going to pull off. You're a stutterer. It's exposing all of your insecurities. You're not a strategist, and yet God is asking you to strategize. You're not a preacher, yet God is asking you to preach. You're not a prophet, yet God is asking you to shift into this season of the prophetic. I don't know what it's like for you, but you're resorting sometimes to striking the rock with an old shepherd's staff. This afternoon, God is saying, would you trust in me? Lift your hands if that's you. Others here, you've been so busy walking everywhere else but right next to God. Walking everywhere else but right next to God.
lagging behind, running forward, chasing other stuff, all the options, all the shadows. And today, your simple prayer this afternoon is, God, I want to walk next to you. So that should you whisper, I can hear it. Should you even look at me, I will know that gaze. I didn't get a chance to preach this, but every eye closed, others here. You're in a season of high stress right now. And you're reaching not for counsel necessarily, but for comfort. That old addiction, it's tempting you. That binge eating, secretly, no one knows about. You drink a little too much, you don't want to tell nobody about it, because it medicates the stuff that's going on. Maybe you feel like you can escape for a little bit. I don't know where you're at right now, but I'm going to, if the prayer is today, in this random afternoon session, I am going to draw a line in the sand, and I'm not going to trust in shadows anymore, but I am going to make a decision for my marriage, for my campus, for my youth ministry, for my family, whatever it is that you have a sphere of influence of, that I'm not going to trust in shadows. I'm going to trust in God. Step out of your seat today. I want to pray for you. Come. Don't respond to me. Respond to the Holy Spirit. But you say, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to do away with the shepherd's staff, and I'm going to speak to my Kadesh. I'm going to speak. Come. Don't be too proud to respond to a sermon like this. Don't do this for me.
I trust in God.